Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of Full Press Coverage.com, coming to you guys here on a Tuesday. Midway through November, the AFC continues to be tight. It was another wild week. Of course, if you guys missed our article from Saturday, kind of talking about how the Chiefs may still be okay despite their strong start just because of how the AFC is playing around them. A lot of that continued again this weekend, and the Chiefs had arguably their best game of the season, which we're going to recap today even more. 41-14 win for the Chiefs over the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday Night Football. A lot of stuff, obviously, to like on both sides of the ball. A lot of things that you could kind of see building that have really started to culminate. And as we kind of mentioned in the game reaction article from Monday, again, if you guys have not checked that out, go ahead and do that. But yeah, it's a lot of things that, unlike the second half in Washington, or, you know, a little bit of the late part of the game in the Giants matchup, it's kind of something that you're seeing across the board for the Chiefs as they're starting to build and build. You're starting to see some things that you can actually believe in once again. I think, you know, in Washington there was a lot of hesitation based off the second half that they had there, and you know what, we know what we saw happen in Tennessee the following week, and then of course against the Giants. We knew that game. I mean, no matter how they played, even if it was a blowout like they had against the Raiders, or, you know, if the scoreboard reflected something that they had against the Raiders, that Giants game really wasn't going to change much of our thought process with the Chiefs. But I think what you've seen the last couple of weeks, even though the offense did leave some stuff out there against Green Bay, these last two games have been really encouraging. And like we said, the AFC continues to poop their pants around them. So the Chiefs are looking, you know, better than they ever have really all season right now. So 6-4 record. A lot of people are going to probably talk about it. You know, the Chiefs were also 6-4 the year they won the Super Bowl. So, despite the bad start, a lot of football, a lot of ball game left to be played. But, I guess starting off this game with the Kansas City Chiefs, I do want to talk about Andy Reid and the play calling. I thought this was the best game he's had in a long while. Really kind of harped on the play calling a little bit coming off the Green Bay game, because I think there was definitely some moments where the momentum wasn't there. There was a lot of times where I think the offense and the playmakers on it was really trying hard to make some explosive plays happen with everything they could. But I think there was a lot of really difficult decisions made by Andy Reid where, you know, if those players kind of got in their heads a little bit more, it would have been maybe a different story against the Packers. But you could see from the get-go, first drive of the game where the Chiefs got the touchdown pass on a long drive to Tyreek Hill, play action, it was a route where Tyreek Hill really fooled his man, thinking he was going to cut inside, breaks back outside, kind of a whip action route there. And you know, really, I think Tyreek Hill's become just as much of a red zone technician as he, you know, as much as he is known for his deep threat and speed. I think his, you know, attention to detail on his routes and evolution there in the red zone have really begun to stick out right now even further. So overall, that was, I think, from the get-go, left the Raiders maybe a little bit shook. And I think, you know, of course, the Chiefs have been seeing a lot of teams playing them with two high safeties, and the Raiders just don't do a lot of that. So you don't want to just say that, you know, it was easy for the Chiefs, because definitely it was a different kind of defense that they saw. And the Raiders were trying to run some cover two high at times. They just never really believed in it or stuck with it. That's not really the defense that Gus Bradley runs in Vegas. So it was a lot of cover three. It was a lot of times where, you know, there was a lot more space for the Chiefs to create with their routes, more than we've seen in a lot of recent games, as far as just being able to spread everybody out and kind of work all three areas of the field. But I will say, I don't think that's an excuse, just because I think there's a lot of things the Chiefs from their own perspective and fundamentals, I think, really hit on and improved on more than they've showed recently. So from that jump, you know, I think the Raiders were shook. And I do think there was a lot. You know, I told you on the podcast here last Friday, I thought the pass rush matchup of Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue was going to be the thing that I think was going to be most worrying for the Chiefs offense. But Andrew Wiley, third string right tackle, had no problem with his old college teammate in Max Crosby. And Yannick Ngakoue was really never, you know, jumped off the screen. So Max, I mean, he had a couple of close calls on pressures, but really he never made much of an impact. So for those two to be a non-factor, that was huge right away. I think that's something that even if you weren't going to really change your style and continue to run cover three, I think Gus Bradley, that's something I think he probably was really surprised with, was the pass rush not getting home. And of course, the Chiefs offensive line has been good most of the season. I think Orlando Brown Jr. is starting to handle speed rushers a lot better. You can see in this game, he was kind of carrying them up the field and getting more depth quickly. So that's a good sign. And with Andrew Wiley, I was really impressed with how quick he was to kind of react to counter moves and fakes that Crosby was trying to run. Again, maybe being a college teammate of his, that had something to do with it, but still, Wiley, I mean, right now is looking just as capable as anybody else that stepped into right tackle so far this season. So yeah, I think the play calling from Andy Reid, I mean, play action, that's something they've kind of started to run a lot more of under center the last couple of weeks. I mean, the Green Bay game, they started to show a lot off of that. And I think this was a game where kind of getting away from that RPO action a little bit and really baiting the defender's eyes and freezing their feet. That was something that really stood out to me, because the play action and actually making it worth something, where it's not just, you know, a lazy fake attempt and you know, just throwing a quick pass right away. These were really strong play action fakes by the Chiefs. It opened up a lot down the field. There was just a lot of plays where there was more misdirection, I think, than we've seen in recent weeks. And I think Andy did a good job of just kind of getting everybody in cohesion with, you know, what we're kind of used to seeing from the last couple of years of the Chiefs, where if it's going to be a quick pass, it's going to be hit quickly. And, you know, there was one play where Mahomes threw quickly out to his right on the far side to Darrell Williams, and he gained about 15 yards. And you could see the other receivers were basically just running vertical routes as a decoy. And it was something that I think we just have not seen, is that cohesion, that kind of just, you know, rhythm that everybody is having right now on offense. And I think that was something that was tremendous to see. So Andy Reid's play calling, to me, the best it's been in a long while. And again, it wasn't facing the cover two shells that they've been seeing lately, but I think they still did a lot of things in this game, working different areas of the field, hitting quick passes, you know, right away at the drop, top of the drop back of Mahomes, where, you know, that definitely is something that if they continue to do that, even against a different defensive look, I think they're going to be just fine there. So the play calling by Andy Reid, that stood out. And of course, Patrick Mahomes, I mean, obviously his best game in a long time. It's crazy how much more confidence he gained the last couple of weeks. You know, just you can see it in the pocket. He's maneuvering a lot better in the pocket right now, stepping up into throws, stepping up and kind of navigating to where he really feels the softer spot is at. Not as much happy feet or antsiness in the pocket. And I think you look at somebody like Mahomes, who's not really the same as other quarterbacks, to where he always has to have perfect footwork due to his arm talent and arm strength. I think that's something that it was good to just see him not really focus as much or worry about that in this game. There was some, like we just said, the quick throw to Darrell Williams, but some other quick throws or even some crossing route throws over the middle that I think he just was more comfortable with, you know, not just doing a straight deep drop back. He was starting to get a better feel once again of trying to, you know, throw to the right, you know, when he's rolling a little bit to the left or vice versa. So that was good to see. Obviously a game where I think he was probably the most accurate we've been in we've seen him be in a long time. I mean, we saw him have better accuracy against Green Bay, but there were still a few throws that were a little off target, a little, you know, not where the receiver was expecting them to be. I don't really remember much throws in this game where he either put the pass catcher in harm's way or put the ball in harm's way, you know, chance of it being a tipped ball for an interception. I think you look at his ball placement, and that's something that for me, if he's on, I mean, it's as perfect as it can be. And it really, truly was. There was some deeper throws that he hit. One on the, I believe it was like a 3rd and 2 where Tyreek Hill kind of came in motion to the near side. And Mahomes ended up hitting him on the sideline. You know, we got a couple steps by Brandon Face in there. And once he hit that throw, that was, to me, one of the best throws of the night. I mean, one of many, but one of the best throws of the night for him, where you could just see he was locked in. And I think you could see that resonate with everybody right now. You know, I think even they kind of mentioned it on the broadcast of Tyreek Hill saying, you know, it's not just Mahomes that's trying to work to get better right now. Everybody's trying to adjust and see how they're needing to attack these defenses right now. And I think you finally saw that. We mentioned the cohesion, but I think just you know, the mix of kind of balance that Reed had with his play calling, but also the aggressive nature, I think the players were ready to go, and they fed off that. And, you know, with Patrick Mahomes on the night, 400 some passing yards, no interceptions, 5 touchdown passes. Those are definitely the kind of games that we're used to seeing from him. And I think a lot of plays for him in this game where, you know, being able to hit on some contested catch throws and really getting kind of a better feel for what the defense is showing him. Again, not the cover two stuff that's giving him trouble, but like we said, I think working on the things that even against cover two, it's going to lead to more explosive plays and winning at all three areas of the field. I think that was definitely some stuff that we were able to witness from Patrick Mahomes on Sunday night. I do have to say a couple other things on the Chiefs offense before we move over to the defensive side. And I just, Darrell Williams, I mean, how can you not talk about him? 11 carries, 43 yards on the ground for him in this game. He was actually the team's second leading receiver based off receiving yards in this game. He had 101 receiving yards, actually got 9 catches, 11.2 yards per reception. That touchdown where he was able to moss Jonathan Abram, that was just a little extra, you know, a little extra thing that you can kind of pound your fist at, because if you guys have been following me or a lot of other people, you know, that kind of cover talk about the Chiefs, Jonathan Abram's always that guy that, you know, is kind of an easy target. So it was kind of a little extra, you know, fist pump there that he kind of did that to Abram on that touchdown play. And Darrell Williams is kind of made it interesting now for how the Chiefs are going to utilize the running back position, because straightforward, you know, running style, a guy that usually has pretty good ball security. I don't remember really Williams ever fumbling the football. He makes it look natural as a pass catcher. So a little bit sneaky good in the pass catch game. And, you know, you look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire potentially coming back this upcoming Sunday against Dallas. I'm interested to see how they kind of utilize the running backs. Is it going to be a little bit more mixed? Is it going to be, you know, Williams just being relegated to being used in the passing game? What are we going to kind of see there? I think over the last few weeks, we've seen a little bit more mix as far as the rush attempts go. I mean, even Jerick McKinnon got a carry or two in this game against the Raiders, Derek Gore, some second half usage. So for me, I mean, I think you almost try to not necessarily limit Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I think you got to keep load management in mind. And of course, if he does play against Dallas, I mean, it's only one game before you're right on the bye week. So really fascinated to see how, you know, Darrell Williams is going to be used now going forward once Clyde's back, because Clyde did have a couple good rushing games before getting hurt. So that really was unfortunate to see with the ascension that he was on, despite some early fumbles in the season. But now you look at Darrell Williams, who's really kind of starting to fill multiple roles and more of what he has not done in the past. I think that's definitely going to be an asset for the team going forward, even if they don't use him quite as much. So Offensively, that was a good sign. We talked about the offensive line a little bit already, but I got to say a couple other guys that stood out to me in a good way that, you know, really needed a good showing. Byron Pringle had a pretty good game. Obviously, the touchdown catch for the final of five touchdowns for Mahomes, but there was a lot of plays in this game where Pringle really was, I think, making a lot of, you know, giving a lot of good looks to Mahomes, even if the ball didn't come his way. I think he was making a lot of good decisions as far as, you know, the depth that he was kind of attacking defenders at. And there was a lot of plays in there that I thought Pringle really, if the ball went his way, he could have broken some tackles and, you know, got a couple extra explosive plays or two. He had four catches, 46 yards. So Byron Pringle, good night for him. You know, as Josh Gordon still kind of getting acclimated a little bit to the offense, so to speak. I think the good thing is when Pringle's been able to kind of get, you know, his footing going and really gets in the zone. I mean, you don't really see a lot of other guys outside of Hill or Kelce gaining that trust. So Pringle's kind of been the guy in some games this year that's been that third option, and it's not a bad thing to see. Noah Gray, only one catch, 1 yard, but a touchdown. And it was a drive on that touchdown drive where you could see Mahomes was trying to get the ball to Noah Gray a couple times, led to an incompletion. One was kind of a broken play where Mahomes, you know, got the snap a little earlier than he was expecting, so he tried to kind of fire it quick at Noah Gray, and it was just a tough catch to make. But it's good to see him kind of emerge here as a rookie midway through the season now that Jody Fortson obviously has been out for about a month with that injury. And yeah, there was a lot of plays in there that were designed for Noah Gray to kind of use his route running prowess, his ability to kind of separate. I mean, he does have a little bit of similarity to Kelce as far as wiggle at the top of his routes and the separation skills. So good to see him kind of getting acclimated a little bit in the offense with the that kind of drive that had the few plays designed to him, and the move that he had to get away from the defender and beat press. I mean, really left the defender looking kind of lost in space. So great for Noah Gray, rookie, to get his first touchdown as a Chief. Those were a couple other guys I wanted to mention offensively. So next up, I think you look at the defense. I mean, I don't really know where to start in this one. There's a lot of things that I really loved in this game from the Chiefs defense. I mean, of course, it's great to see Mahomes throw five touchdowns and the offense to score 41 points. You know, we've been waiting for the offense, right, to show their true selves. But I still kind of think the defense is not getting kind of the recognition they really should. There's a lot of people that, you know, continue to kind of talk about the points allowed per drive and the points they allowed early in the season. But you look at the last five games now, all really strong in terms of points allowed. Even against Tennessee, it was a really rough day against Tennessee, but I think there was a lot of plays where they showed, you know, a little bit of mental toughness. And I thought, as that game wore on, I mean, they could have laid down even further. And that game's kind of a little bit more skewed, but I think you look at the last five games for the Chiefs defense, this is kind of what we are used to seeing late in the season from this team. Once they kind of get their footing, Spagnuolo's able to get his guys in spots that he wants them to play. Chris Jones, it was interesting to see how much he moved around in this game. I did not really anticipate that. And I think some of that was just because of what Derek Carr is. I mean, somebody made the comment, and I threw it in the Chiefs reaction article from Monday, that Derek Carr may be the most high variance quarterback in history when it comes to pressure versus no pressure. And I think we've always kind of known that, right? He's been a guy that, you know, easily gets rattled. Joey Bosa, the Chargers, said it earlier this year after Chargers beat him in a Monday night game, that he's probably the most rattled quarterback that he's ever seen against pressure. And Bosa said that there's a lot of other defenders that have kind of, you know, tipped the same things off. And I think Steve Spagnuolo, that was kind of the interesting thing for him in this game, is he showed pressure like he was going to bring it a lot of times, and he really didn't bring it as much as maybe what Carr thought he was going to see. So once that finally came and that continued to get into Carr's head further and further, Carr wanted no piece of it. I think it was the first drive, either first drive of the second half for the Raiders or the second drive, there was a big hit that that Jones made on Carr, forced an incompletion. You could see right after that, Carr mentally was not having any more of it. So to see how he tries to escape pressure sometimes, you know, dropping off his back foot, you know, not good for any quarterback, but especially for a guy like him who doesn't have the best arm strength, doesn't have necessarily, you know, like we were saying, the mental toughness to kind of overcome that and stave that off. I think it was not surprising to see what we saw from Derek Carr. Sure, he's hit on some deeper plays down the field, you know, throughout the day here and there. Brian Edwards got a couple deep catches. The play where, you know, Rashad Fenton punched it out of Deshaun Jackson's hands and Matthew, you know, Tyrann Mathieu nearly picked that ball off. It was some plays there that Carr did hit on deep, but, you know, the arm punt for an interception to Daniel Sorensen, you know, the sack, the way it just kind of looked from Jaron Reed's sack against him. There's so many things that Carr, I think you see how easily it is to kind of get in his head. And I think Spagnuolo did a good job of just kind of showing like he was going to bring pressure a lot of the time, and he really didn't. They actually ran dime a lot more this week than they did last week. Nearly 50%, I believe 46% of the night they were in their dime package. So a lot more speed on the field, and I think that's kind of just where I had to start off defensively was getting in Carr's head, the pressure there, and I think you look at the defensive line. This is kind of something that I expected to kind of see early in the season. I think this is the kind of player that the Chiefs kind of envisioned that they were going to get from Jaron Reed once they brought him in free agency away from Seattle. I mean, he had his best game as a Chief on Sunday night. Obviously got his first sack with the team. But there was a lot of times where he was collapsing the pocket from the interior, like quicker than he has all season long. There was a lot of times where he was even probably getting held and it didn't even matter because he was still getting into the backfield without, you know, any restriction. So I think that's something that was that really stuck out to me from the defensive line was this is the kind of play that we, or at least myself, kind of envisioned going into the season. Of course, Melvin Ingram, you know, didn't think he'd be in the picture once we got closer to the regular season. But, you know, he's right now, I mean, been that presence on the edge that teams are just so far straight to go, afraid to go after him. And I think you look at the forearm shove that he had for a run stuff the other night. That was just comical, honestly. I mean, the strength that he has with one arm to, you know, throw off the blocking tight end and get the stop in the backfield. It's a good thing to see at the defensive line. I think the next thing that I have to touch on from the defense's perspective is the secondary. Right now, I think they're really probably still truly flying under the radar. But I think this is the kind of thing that Steve Spagnuolo wants is being able to mix looks and mix more coverages. I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week. Mina Kimes of ESPN kind of pointed it out that since Charvarius Ward's returned and over the last month, they've ran a lot more cover two coverages. So a lot less man free. When they have run man, it's man. It's two man. So there's a lot more that Steve Spagnuolo has at his disposal, and knowing how, you know, vast his bag of tricks are, really makes it tough on quarterbacks to either get the ball out quick, hope for broken tackles on the outside, or you have to really, you know, wait for plays to develop. And right now they just are not happening for the opposing passers. And I think, of course, with Green Bay, it's maybe a little bit of a different story just because Jordan Love's first start. And really, I mean, Green Bay was not a good team on that day offensively at all. Davante Adams was not in his zone. There were other guys that just were not making the usual separation or adjustments that we're used to seeing in space. But yeah, I think the secondary right now, you look at Legarius Sneed, his tackling in the open field is always a bonus, but you're getting back to seeing him kind of play as the best cornerback of this group right now. Rashad Fenton, though, I mean, he continues to kind of be a quietly unheralded guy. I know that Pro Football Focus rankings are everything, and definitely don't agree with everything that they do. They have him rated as the top corner right now in the league, and I don't think he's the best in the league, of course, right now, but he's doing a lot of things that just take receivers out of their element, throw quarterbacks off with their timing. I mean, there's a lot of things that have always been there for Fenton, whether it's the physicality, ability to press and throw receivers off balance a little bit. But I think it's his awareness and timing that are right now at its best peak for him, because he did have a bad interception or pass interference call go against him on the drive that led to the touchdown to Hunter Renfro. But I think even with that right now, he's understanding right now that he is in their heads, and I think he's going to continue to kind of be a little bit of a secret weapon. I'm excited to see how he plays against Dallas this upcoming Sunday, probably the best offense that they're going to see all season. So I can't wait to see how the secondary plays, because like I said, I think they're still a little bit under the radar right now. Not just because of the three cornerbacks, or especially Steen and Fenton, the way they're playing, but you look at Tyrann Mathieu. I think he's dialed in right now. We talked about Mahomes being dialed in offensively, but Tyrann Mathieu, I think, we're really seeing everything that he has seen and kind of anticipating is truly coming to light for him. I mean, the way that they were able to take away Darren Waller in this game, not something I anticipated. 4 catches, 24 yards. And that's tough for Tyrann Mathieu to do on the couple of plays where he had to take Waller away, because of course Waller much bigger than Tyrann, but the way he's kind of able to fire at the catch point, go after the football and not even really worry about the man in front of him sometimes, it's something we're used to seeing from Tyrann Mathieu when he's dialed in. So he's at the top of his game right now. It'll be interesting to see how they kind of play against Dallas, because it is going to be a long day for them. As far as getting thrown out all day long with some of the best receivers in the league, with Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup's now back. So this is a game I can't wait to watch from their perspective with how well they're playing right now in the secondary. I think it's going to be if they can pass this test well enough against the Cowboys, I think this secondary may be what I kind of envisioned going into the season. Maybe a little bit different pieces, but I think you're looking at a group right now. We talked about cohesion earlier offensively, but this is, I think, where it's kind of working out the best right now for this Chiefs team, and this Chiefs defense is in the secondary. So defensively, that's kind of the main things that stuck out to me. We talked about Darren Waller being limited, but Josh Jacobs, that was another thing. I kind of was surprised that we did not see a little bit more usage from him. Of course, some of that was maybe game script and the Raiders having to throw it a lot, being down most of the game, but only 7 carries, 16 yards, 2.3 yards per rush attempt for Josh Jacobs, and his longest carry was only for 5 yards. So this run defense right now, last couple few games actually, has been playing really stout. Derek Nnadi, always kind of a guy that's been a tremendous run defender, but like we said, with Jaron Reed having his best game with the Chiefs, those two inside leading the way Sunday night, that was something that they were really kind of feeling. I think Sunday night was where to crash. I think they were controlling their gaps the last few weeks, resetting the line of scrimmage. That's something that you can see these two right now. They're truly, I think, finding that right now and getting to where they kind of maybe envisioned going into the season against the run, as far as resetting the line of scrimmage and controlling that. So that was another thing that stuck out to me in this game. So we talked a little bit about the things obviously stood out for me, each side of the ball, Chiefs and Raiders. For more on players that I thought boosted their stock or hurt their stock, go check out the Chiefs reaction article for this game on from Monday, FPC Chiefs, fullpresscoverage.com. We will be back with more articles this week, of course, going into a huge game against the Dallas Cowboys. Can the Chiefs finish off their November slate with a major win against arguably their toughest opponent of the season? Yes, they played Green Bay, who I did pick to win the Super Bowl this year, but there was just so much that was missing from Green Bay that week that I don't think we truly saw the best version that we could have of the Packers. So to me, the Cowboys, I know they lost a really bad game against Denver a couple weeks ago, but this may be the best team they're seeing all season long, especially at this point in the season. And we'll see if the Chiefs can make it 4 wins in a row. We'll be talking about it all week long here with our articles Wednesday through Friday, so stay tuned for those at Full Press Coverage Chiefs, fullpresscoverage.com. We'll be back with our game preview podcast episode for Dallas and Kansas City on Friday as well. You guys can follow us on Twitter at FPC_Chiefs. Follow myself at BradenHolacek9 with the number 9 at the end. Follow at Full Press NFL or at FP_coverage for more news and notes surrounding the NFL. And also follow us on YouTube, Facebook. We will be posting daily video content there. You got FPC Radio Live with Ian London every weekday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern. So great stuff there. Of course, FPC NFL Sunday, myself, Ian, Kyle Senra, Ricky Keeler, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. We'll be back to discuss Sunday slate of games this upcoming weekend. So stay tuned for that. Again, more articles coming out this week in the lead up to the Cowboys game. So stay tuned. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the week. And we will see you guys next time.